This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ladies and gents, once again, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden. Once again, guys, girls, you guys know how we rock and roll. We got another jam-packed show for you guys. If you're a big-time fan of college football, this is the show for you. If you have some SEC ties, and I don't want to mention this the name of this school, but they currently reside in Gainesville, this is the show for you. If you're out west and you like what the Utah Utes are doing, remember the foundation, who created that foundation? This is the show for you. And if you want to go up top to the Big Ten, this individual, unfortunately for the other schools, he dominated when he was in the Big Ten. No other than three-time national champion head coach, one of just four coaches to win a title at two programs, now currently an outstanding broadcaster for Fox, no other than Coach Urban Meyer. Joining us here, Pat P, Brian McFadden, All Things Covered. Coach, how you doing? How you feeling?
Brian, it goes so good to see you, and Patrick, so good to see you guys, and I'm a big fan of you guys for a long time.
I appreciate it. Hey, Pat P, I want to jump start it. Let's get personal with Coach. He has a real good relationship with our very own Patrick Peterson, and Pat recently shared with us, Coach, a few episodes ago about you coming down to South Florida, trying to recruit him at that time. What do you remember about recruiting a young Pat Peterson, at the time, Patrick Johnson, at the time? What do you remember about recruiting young P2, who was known as Patrick Johnson at that time?
It wasn't only recruiting, it was a wrap. It was done. I went into his home, and he's got a beautiful family, and his mom and dad. And I remember sitting in his house, and I look over, and on his laptop or personal computer there, it's Gator everything on the screen. And I looked at Doc Holliday, and I knew Patrick. I mean, you know, I've done that for so many years, 30 years recruiting, that when you come across someone that is the it, and I'm not just talking about athleticism, because, you know, nothing against Patrick, but there's a lot of great athletes out there. Mm-hmm. But I always say the number one thing I've always looked for in a great player, number one quality that all great players share, his competitive spirit. And my man Patrick was a monster. And, went to Ely, I believe, if I remember right. And
yep.
And it was a wrap, Patrick. We had him. And Doc Holliday, who was a great recruiter for me, went on to be head coach at Marshall. And then as it got closer to signing date, it's a bad sign when you call and you're not hearing anything back.
No question.
Doc Holliday, and I called Doc about 30 times a day, say, what's going on, man? I'm ripping his ass. Say, what's going on, man? And he went to LSU and had a great career, obviously.
So about that story, and you guys did have me, Coach. I was locked in. As you know, we had great communications. You guys was coming to the house a bunch of times. I remember the game you guys came to, you and Doc Holliday. I ran a punt return back. I think I told Brian this story. I ran a punt return back and did the gator chop,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And everything. And what it came down to, Coach, it was my dad, like, giving me more insight on college football, far as giving a more deeper look into the recruiting process, understanding where you would fall in that totem pole far as coming in play. I had no problem coming there competing with the Joe Haytons. I forget who the other corner was at the time.
Janoris
was in the same class. But he was like, man, I think it'll be a better opportunity for you to go to LSU, where it's a clean slate. where there's no DBs there, all the guys are seniors, where you can just go there and step in and dominate right now. So when my dad gave me that advice, I was like, you know what? You're kind of right. I can go there and be the first Jim Thorpe winner. You know, I could be a trendsetter. You know, I can do a lot of things that this program did not have from a defensive back. So that's why I end up going to LSU, coach.
You would have did okay in Florida. We would have made sure you did.
Hey, I can tell you this much, though, coach, with me having my Florida State ties, I was okay in Pat not going to Florida and going to LSU.
Hey, we were loaded, though, man. When I look back at the 08 Florida Gators, and I'm very biased, but that's one of the best teams in college football history. You know, you're talking about NFL players all over the field.
No doubt.
You know what, Patrick? They love the game.
Yeah.
I remember one time in spring practice when I had spikes on defense and Joe Hayden, Major Wright, you know, Janoris and Carlos Dunlap. And I mean, just these monsters. And then on offense, the Pouncies and Tebow. Yeah. And we went inside drill. And after about three plays, I think Belichick was there, right? Or the NFL head coach was there with me. After three plays, I stopped it. I blew the whistle.
Why you stopped it?
They were going to kill each other. You know, they were going to, you know, I said, we're good. You know, inside drill a lot of times is to prove a point, develop toughness. We had it. They got the Pouncies looked at me like they're going to kill me. I said, no, we're done. Get out of here. Go to individual. Not going to do this anymore.
And coach, you guys had 25 pros on that team.
Yes.
What's 20, that?
Yeah, I said you guys had 25 pros on that team, that 2018, 25 pros.
Wow, I believe that. I'll tell you, you're a school had a little bump in the road, but when I first went to Florida, when Bobby Bowden was still there, Florida State, man, top to bottom. You know, think about it, they had 14 or 15 straight years, if I remember, top four in the country.
Yeah.
And Bobby Bowden became Bobby and Ann Bowden became very close friends with Shelly and I. So God bless them. Bless his soul, but he was a great man.
Yeah,
no question.
And speaking of recruiting, coach, who was the biggest recruit that got away from you in your career that you really thought you had, excluding myself?
Okay. Patrick is number one or number two, and then CJ Spiller.
Ooh.
I grew up 30 minutes from Gainesville, and I'm talking about, I love CJ and I are still close, and I see him, and same thing, you know, I thought that one is over. I went and watched him play basketball, and you know, I was very close with his family, and his mom and I were really close. And Charlie Strong was recruiting him. And I remember saying it's going to come down to us at Clemson. And this is before Clemson became the Clemson that we all know now. And I looked at him and go, Clemson, you know, this one, that's over. We got him. And sure enough, he put on that Clemson hat. But that was one that I thought was signed, sealed, and delivered, other than the guy that your podcast partner, right?
Yeah.
No doubt. That makes sense. Hey, coach, what about the job that got away from you? And I want to go back in time. You called Coach Nick Saban in 1990 when he started at Toledo, right? And we know you had an opportunity to talk to Miss Terry, but Nick never returned your phone call. What do you remember about trying to connect with Nick Saban back then? And what could have been if you guys actually connected on the phone?
Oh, what a great story. And so Coach Saban just got hired at Toledo, and I'm from Toledo. I'm actually from Toledo and Cincinnati and Cleveland. But it was before, you know, obviously way before cell phones and iPads and all that. So I called his home, and Terry Saban answered the phone, and I put on a 30-minute recruiting speech now. And she said, you know, I remember her saying, yeah, I can't wait for him to talk to you. And so we still, whenever I see Terry Saban, we still laugh about that. Because I had her, it was over. I was coming to Toledo. But at the time, I was at Illinois State making about $10,000 a year. I thought I might as well take a run at it. But about 3 weeks later, I got hired at Colorado State. And it all worked out.
I said, much like Nick Saban, your playing background and your early coaching background was defensive back. Who was the best defensive back that you ever coached?
You know, Joe Hayden was an absolute monster. He came in as I recruited him. He was out of Maryland. He was a quarterback. And the minute we got him on campus, my idea was going to put him at H-back. I love those H-backs, you know, the Percy Harvin, Jared Faison, you know, the Ohio State, I had Paris Campbell. Mm. You know, those H-backs, Curtis Samuel, that was always my toy. That was my mismatch guy that I could move him around and hand him the ball. And Percy was a perfect H-back. Mm. But he was a guy that there's no doubt if I could create a mismatch with him, you know, that's the one position, a little bit like tight end a little bit too, where if you get a guy that can do dual positions, mm-hmm. if you have a safety cover, a guy like Percy Harvin, you know, you're in trouble. And so mm-hmm. that's my position.
Yeah. And speaking of Percy Harvin, we all know about Tim Tebow, but how essential was getting Percy Harvin to Florida in 2006 to help the rise of the program? And what do you remember about recruiting Percy Harvin?
And not many people who played with him would argue this. Percy Harvin, and this is including Zeke Elliott, this is including, you know, all the, you know, Zeke Elliott, the Bosas, the, you know, I've been lucky to coach Mike Thomas, these great players. But Percy Harvin is the best player that I've ever coached to put on a helmet.
Wow.
I think he's one of the greatest of all time. That you said he had migraine headaches, he had some injuries to his lower legs. But when he was right, that cat, he's the most violent. If you ever really study Percy, I think, you know, Reggie Bush is my partner on Fox. And I think Reggie and Percy Harvin are the two, with a baller in their hand, I can't imagine in college, two better players in the history of the game than Percy Harvin and Bush.
Wow.
Yeah, Percy Harvin, I had the privilege to play against Percy Harvey. And like you said, I remember the first play of that game in 2008, if you remember. It was like a little, like an over route. I don't know what you guys call that, but he caught the ball on our sideline and he went for like 75 yards, cut it all the way back cross field and scored. It was like the second or third play of the game.
It was. And then, well, the swamp came undone on that one. So that was like three games after we lost to Arkansas and our team was fired up. And first he caught that, and here's amazing, even playing a talented team like LSU, the mm-hmm. minute the ball touched his hand, I saw he had space in my mind. Field goal. No, we're kicking the pointer. This one's over.
You ain't lying, because he had a ton of space and it wasn't many guys around him because he was so elusive and fast. You had another weapon too, Jeffrey Dent.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, we had how
Chris
about
speed.
Chris Rainey.
We had Rainey, Demps, and Percy on offense. And so I was also the special teams coordinator, Patrick, and I just was enamored with blocking punts. Mm-hmm. And our national championship year, I believe we blocked eight. And wow. I called it the freak show. And so if you weren't a 4-4 or better, you weren't allowed to be on my punt block team. So I had, here's an old name for you. You had Jeff Demps, Chris Rainey, Percy Harvin, Brandon James. Yeah, the guy named Deontay Thompson.
Oh yeah, yep.
Deontay
oh,
Thompson yeah. from Deontay was from Belle or Pahokee.
Oh yeah, he's a Buck City guy.
Yeah, Buck City. Yep.
And those guys would stay after practice to try, and I would time them. And if they didn't run a 4-4 or better, you couldn't be on a pump block team. That's how good that team was.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Speaking of another good team, Coach, let's go to 2012, right? Ohio State was the only undefeated team, but couldn't play in the BCS due to a prior postseason ban. How would the Buckeyes have fared versus Notre Dame or Alabama that year in 2012? And do you believe you had a legit shot of having a fourth ring if you were able to get into the BCS opportunity?
Yeah, that was a tough time. I took the job, and about 2 weeks later, I found out we weren't eligible for it. The NCAA came down pretty hard on the previous staff and said no bowl game, and we're going to take 9 scholarships from you. So, you know, I was worried, you know, and I was trying to find a way, should I get out of this thing? Because, you know, when I signed the contract, you know, I didn't buy that we were going to have 9 scholarships gone. So the 2012 team was a great team, but I think we would have competed with Notre Dame. But if you push the clock back, Notre Dame got smashed by Alabama. Alabama messed out of
Miami.
And I was there working for game day that day, and I watched Alabama play. And I sent a text message to every player and every coach, and I called it the chase. And I said, guys, we had a great year, but Alabama was so much better than we were. Mm. I said, we have to catch Alabama. And, you know, I have great respect for Nick Saban and Alabama. And I said, the chase is on. And we had signs all over the facility I put up on the walls and in the indoor facility that we're going to chase Alabama. And, you know, it's ironic. 2 years later, we caught them. And we played a Sugar Bowl and beat them. And our players, I remember, it was a real emotional locker room. I mean, sobbing, guys crying. And when we caught them, basically, was a story that the 12 team was really good. But that 2014 that won it all, that team, we beat Alabama.
How would you rank that team that won it all compared to what you had in Gainesville in 08?
It's right there. It's sixes, man. It's you just look at the NFL rosters right now, and Zeke Elliott, Mike Thomas, Joey Bosa, and now, and I mean, it was Zeke Elliott became Zeke Elliott in that game.
Yeah, he did.
He put his left and took it 85 yards against Alabama, and that was life change for Zeke.
Yeah, that just don't happen. And well, speaking of that, you know, that 2014 team, describe the quarterback room that you had going from Braxton Miller, JT Bennett, you got Cordell Jones, and end up thriving with all of those guys. Like, tell me, like, how was that room like?
Yeah, so Braxton Miller, you know, the Buckeye fans don't forget him, but I think people don't realize how good that guy was. Yeah. Braxton was a Big Ten player of the year, I think 2 years in a row, Heisman candidate. And he gets hurt a week before our first game. And I mean, a bad injury, tore his labrum. And then we had a freshman called JT Barrett come in and break Drew Brees' record. And JT Barrett gets hurt against the team up north, the Wolverines. And some big guy named Cardell Jones goes in there. And to me, they ought to build a statue of Cardell Jones.
Yeah. You
know, beat Wisconsin 59-0, beat Alabama, and then he goes on to beat Oregon. And that's one of the greatest runs in certainly Ohio State history.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And talking about a run, you know, an individual who didn't get a chance to really showcase what he can do as a quarterback for Ohio State, of course, transferred to LSU, and that's Joe Burrow. What did you see from Joe Burrow early on throughout his short time in Columbus?
Gosh, what a monster he is. So he was really unrecruited. If I remember, he had West Virginia and Pitt, and my quarterback coach, Tom Herman, went down to watch him. And I remember him taking a cell phone and started videotaping him from his cell phone. And I said, I just found your next Alex Smith.
Mm.
We brought him up. And the minute you meet Joe Burrow, you're and his mom and dad, you're sold. I mean, great, great people, great competitor. Was a hell of a basketball player in high school. Was a little underdeveloped because Ohio doesn't have spring practice.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes on campus. He had a long release. His arm strength was okay, and his athleticism was just okay. But you saw him develop and develop and develop. What you did see immediately was incredible toughness, great leadership, and toughness.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that to this day. Now that body grew up, and obviously, and it's hard to say he's not one of the top 2-3 quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree.
No question. I agree.
All the great things that you did with Florida, the Utes, Ohio State, what was appealing to you to take the next step into taking the NFL head coaching job?
It's a long story, Patrick. So I was done. I retired. I had some health issues at Ohio State. I always, 55 was always my target. You know, I just, you know, my family deserved that. We worked so hard for 38 years that, you know, I said I had some friends that unfortunately had some real serious health issues. I thought, I'm not doing this. You know, I'm going to get out of the game. And I had it all planned out. I found the right guy in Ryan Day, who's fantastic. And I did. I retired and went to Fox, was an assistant AD for 2 years. And then I, you know, I got approached by a few teams, and this team really appealed to me. You know, the Trevor Lawrence, who's going to be a, you know, might be a Hall of Famer someday. He's that good and a great kid. And obviously it didn't go well. And, you know, but I, you know, I had no plans on doing that at all. It just happened.
With that experience, is there any, when you look back, is there anything you wish you would have done differently? And seeing what happened in Jacksonville, do you have any other desires to return to the sidelines?
No desire. And of course, you know, I think I'd do some things differently. And, you know, I was excited to see because they have a lot of different players. And when I was there, they did a really good job in free agency this year. And, but, you know, to me, and you guys know this, it almost, it's fun. It's kind of funny when you say the NFL is a quarterback league. Pop Warner is a quarterback league. So is high school.
No question.
Right. It's a quarterback sport. And when you get a, you know, a killer like Trevor Lawrence or a JT Barrett or a Cardale Jones or Tim Tebow, you got a chance. So they got a great future.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, if you had to throw your bias aside, I know there are some schools in college football, because of the rivalry, you really don't like mentioning their names or talking too much about them, right? But if you had to rank the top five jobs in college football, and I'm not saying like there's a vacancy, but just the top five, you know, top jobs in college football, who would be in your top five based on the school, the tradition, the prestige? Who would you have in your top five?
That's a great one. But you know what? I put something in front of prestige and tradition, and that's talent.
Yep.
Georgia, I've always said Georgia, and they're doing it now. Georgia, within 3-4 hours of that campus, you stumble over players. Mm-hmm. And here's the interesting thing about Georgia. I think it's as good as high school coaching as there is in the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would say Georgia, I would say Ohio State. I would say the Florida Gators / Florida State, because I think they're really similar jobs because of the talent level.
Yeah.
I would say my man Patrick's job, you know, I didn't recruit out. You know what? We didn't recruit out Louisiana. You know why?
Why?
Because all the good players are going to LSU. So I was really upset with my recruiting guy when he said he's made me fly to Louisiana. I said, we're not getting that kid.
So, hey, Coach.
I'd put USC there because of their talent. I know I'm giving you more than five.
Uh-huh.
But to me, it's all you draw a circle within 300 miles around that campus, then go check the NFL draft.
Yeah.
And I would rank according to that. Texas.
Coach, so you mentioned two SEC schools, but didn't add Alabama. Is that basically because of the location, or?
Yeah, I think Alabama is a great job, tradition-wise, history-wise. I think a lot of that, because I was there, you know, early on when Alabama didn't have Nick Saban. They did beat us 1 year pretty badly. But Alabama, I just think Alabama high school football is fantastic, but I don't know if you have the same numbers that you have as a Georgia or an LSU. So I would certainly see Alabama as the top five, though.
Gotcha. Hey, Coach, now I know you're looking at all the, you know, all the on the web, and I know you're following Coach Prime, and you see that he made the jump over to what is that conference? What is Colorado?
That's the Pac-12, Pat.
Oh, yeah. So Coach Prime making the jump over from SWAC to Pac-12. What do you think Coach Prime capabilities will be coming from the SWAC over to the Pac-12?
You know how good that is for college football?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Prime, I became friends with Prime a long time ago. We did a, I want to say it was a Nike commercial way back in 2005 or six. We stayed friends, and I recruited some of his kids before, but I actually talked to him before he took the Colorado job, because I just get phone calls from ADs a lot when they say, hey, what do you think about this guy? What do you think? I think he's already done something that hasn't been done at Colorado since Bill McCartney. Everybody's talking. Here we are in a podcast talking about Brian.
Yep. Right.
And every recruit is listening to him. Now he's got to close the deals. He's got to coach now. I mean, this is big boy, and he's up to the challenge. I saw the staff he hired, really impressed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's with much is given, much is expected.
Yep.
And he's going to feel that here pretty soon. I can, because there's a lot going on in Colorado, and Prime is everywhere in the news. I see you getting recruits. Recruits are talking about them. So I think it's one of the best things that happened to Colorado football since when I remember back with Bill McCartney in 1990 when they won it all.
No question. Bill McCarthy. I did Darian Hagan, Eric Bieniemy, Chris Hudson in the secondary. Those were some iconic names back for the Buffaloes back in those days. No question. Voters. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, Coach, so what are your early expectations for Colorado? What do you expect to see in year one?
I think he's going to flip it. I think he's going to, you know, nothing crazy the first year, but I'd say within the first couple of years, you know, I'd see a, they were very poor the last couple of years. And I'm seeing a, certainly a bowl game and an 8-9 win season. And then I think next year after that, because I really appreciated he hired experience on his, I was looking at that too. He hired some really experienced coaches on his staff, which he had to do.
Right. Yeah. In order to succeed for sure at this level, and take the program where he want to take it for sure.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, one last question for you before we let you go. We know you follow college football religiously. Who is your way too soon champion for next season?
You know, that USC team, something now.
Uh-huh.
No, Caleb Williams, I got to witness him against Utah. Fox did that game, and I was on the sideline. And, you know, I just saw he got hurt, you know, on that long run. He got hurt. He wasn't the same the rest of the game.
Yep.
So anytime you got a guy like that as a returning quarterback, and Alex French is their D coordinator. He coached me at Ohio State. I think he's really good. They struggled on defense. And I'm kind of watching, but if they can hit the transfer portal and get some players on defense, I really think USC is going to be right there.
I mean, Coach, you know this better than anybody. When you got a quarterback, you got a shot.
Yeah, that's you're right. And Georgia lost their quarterback, who, by the way, Stetson Bennett is most underrated player I think has ever played a game. Oh, I was there with you.
Yeah, we were together. Yes, sir.
Remember, I can't believe how small that guy was.
Yeah, he's little.
I remember. I think you told me. I said, "Where is the quarterback?" And you go right there, and I go, "Holy cow!" 5'11", 180. But he's a monster. I mean, his leadership, his toughness, incredible.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, hey, Coach, man, thank you for joining us.
Appreciate you, Coach.
All Things Covered. Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden, man, 3-time national champion. Hey, Coach Urban Meyer is joining us, man. Thank you for following us and giving us an opportunity to chat with you, Coach. And hopefully I get a chance to link with you sometime during the season and talk some more ball.
Hey, Patrick and Brian, let's do this again. Brian, we talked about, let's make it, you know, every once in a while, let's do this thing, because I really enjoy you.
No question. Hey, right, Pat P, you know, we down for it. So say less, Coach. You know, we're fired up about that.
No doubt about it. I got to get you out on the links too, Coach. We got to get the round of golf in too.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.